Show.
Your number one news and talk station.
It's the Money Show this Friday evening, brought to you by Old Mutual. Do great things. Welcome to it. My name is Arabile Kumete from Bloomberg News tonight, standing in for Bruce Whitfield, who's gone on a little rendezvous, I suppose. Who knows? Tonight's Friday show looks back at the week's best bits with a few interviews Bruce also did this past week. But the big story today, there's certainly no rest in South Africa. It's all about the SARS wars, shall we call it. Commissioner Tom Moyane and the tax agency have taken aim now at Judge Dennis Davis this time around, saying that he may be mobilizing for a tax revolt from taxpayers. So perhaps some taxpayers not willing to pay their taxes. This is all not new anymore and probably comes as no surprise, considering that Judge Davis was appointed by Gordhan in around 2013. And the relationship between Finance Minister Pravin Gordhan and Tom Moyane is souring since the minister was reappointed to Treasury. That's in December 2015, following what we're all now terming as Nene Gate. This draws even more worry to how nervy things may be at the Revenue Collections Office. We will get word from the horse's mouth, SARS's Luther Lebello joining us, as well as Judge Dennis Davis in a moment or two. And the markets, they've been strengthening, lifted by the dollar, of course, which reached its highest mark in 7 weeks as well today. Effects of a possible hike in interest rates in the U.S. playing its part. What movement could that be? One, two, or three interest rate hikes? We'll find out as well. Greg Ketz and Alan Buchen also joining us there. Dual listed shares faring well on that front. And also, I have 2,000 Rand to make hay and give away if you think you can play the brutal biz quiz coming up this evening. Some interesting questions coming out of tonight's quiz. If you've listened to the show this week, it may be a lot easier to get ready. So let's see who's got what it takes to win 2,000 Rand, which is up for grabs in that brutal biz quiz. However, we're going to get into our top story this evening.
Now, 702 and Cape Talk.
The Money Show.
Now, our Friday file this week is about SARS wars. Now, the SARS spokesperson, Sandi Lememela, wrote what is a 1,900 word. And I wonder if he ran out of breath at all writing that statement to Judge Dennis Davis, saying that the judge is part of a systematically orchestrated, and I quote, systematically orchestrated narrative that primarily seeks to decimate and undermine the leadership of SARS in order to engulf SARS into a crisis of lack of public confidence and illegitimacy. Some big claims there following statements by Judge Dennis Davis, who initially then had said, and of course he leads the committee looking into tax methods and the investigative units in the tax agency, and which he has said that the biggest problem in South Africa, of course, is the erosion of the integrity of SARS. Let's get the lowdown on exactly what's going on here. Luther Lebello, who is the spokesperson of SARS, now joins us on the line. Luther, let's get the real story. What has actually happened in the breakdown of the communication between the judge there and Commissioner Tom Moyane?
No, thanks for taking for inviting us. Obviously, Judge Davis has been appointed by the minister in terms of Section 11 to advise both the minister and the Commission of SARS. And all you expected from him, at least for the money that we pay him, is to give us an advice. Hence, we're taken aback that he decided to go to some conference and go and attack SARS. Not only did he attack SARS, but he didn't tell the truth in that attack. So anybody who you employ to advise you goes and attack you and not even telling the truth, you lose confidence. And it's on the basis of that you have lost confidence against the judge, and we want him to recuse himself.
Have you actually had a conversation with the judge about this yet?
We sent him a letter.
Has he responded?
I do not know. I do not know whether he has responded, but by let's say last night or this morning, I haven't seen any response.
Okay. Taking a look at this now, it doesn't bode well for confidence within tax or revenue collections as well. The country obviously is in dire need of the funds that happened there. Do you think that it is these sort of relationships that are getting severed that will ultimately affect how much tax collection the country can bring in?
Indeed, it's actually not the relationship. It's what we term as irresponsible and unfortunate comments like this one that deter people from paying checks. So Judge Davis is a very celebrated and respected judge who has been in a committee that is supposed to advise SARS in 2013. When he goes and says SARS has lost credibility and has lost integrity, that alone will affect me. If I'm a taxpayer, I'm supposed to part with 45% of my money, and you're telling me that the institution that you're supposed to advise has integrity erosion. What do you mean? You mean I must not pay? And that is the problem. The problem is this continuous irresponsible comment that continues to be thrown around willy-nilly about such a critical institution.
Yeah. Do you think that the integrity of SARS has eroded in any way?
No. It's not eroded. I think South African people are aware of the good work that you have done. It talks to the numbers. It talks to everything else. We have beat the target in 2015, 2016. We got a trillion in 2015, 2016. So these comments, South Africans are not stupid. They know that these are just orchestrated attacks to attack the leadership of SARS and customer association. And that's why we rely on the integrity of our people.
Yeah, but Luther, one must be honest as well and say that just last year alone, in this last financial year, we didn't collect at least 30 billion rand, which could have been added to a certain part of the fiscus, and who knows where that could have gone.
Let me explain to you that, because it's another thing that Judge Davis makes a huge error.
Yeah.
So, Treasury, there is a team called ROC, so is the National Treasury representative, SARS representative, and South African Reserve Bank representative. They sit together and say, when we set the target, we said you must collect so much, the economy has projected to perform in that much. They sit down together and analyze the economy and come with a conclusion. So this is the conclusion that they came to. They said import contracted completely. Yeah. So as a result of import contracting, import got less than 6.5 billion. And you lost another 11.5 billion because if import contrasts, the VAT of import also contrasts. And the third one being that because unemployment arose and there were retrenchments and stuff like that, because of that, we lost another 15 billion. All of it is the 30 billion. So the 30 billion has got nothing to do with SARS performance. Let me... You see, the question that must be asked.
So is it all systems go? Sorry, Luther.
We collect money from the economy. If the economy grows, we collect more money. If the economy doesn't grow, we do not collect money. And we don't have responsibility over the economy. The economy is the responsibility of the National Treasury and the Minister of Finance. You collect from it.
Yeah.
And this is the point that people who are pushing this narrative continue to not raise, including the Honorable Judge.
So essentially you're saying there's nothing wrong at the Tax Revenue Service. Literally all that is an issue right now is the relationships between Judge Dennis Davis and the Finance Minister.
No, not between the Finance Minister. We have lost confidence in him. We want him to...
You've lost confidence in the Finance Minister, is that what you're saying?
No. In Judge Davis.
Okay.
We want him to do the honorable thing and recuse himself, and that is all we are asking from him, because what he has done is unprecedented, it's never heard of. And we can't continue working with him. I think that is our view. There's nothing wrong with SARS.
Yeah.
SARS is doing its best under very difficult conditions. The recent stats that came out of South Africa tells you that the economy is even worse. And how do you blame SARS when the economy is not doing well? Because you're collecting from the economy.
Yeah.
The economy must grow so that you can collect the 60. So the 60 billion has got nothing to do with SARS.
All right.
People are pushing this for their own agenda, and we're asking them to stop, because they keep on demoralizing our staff that work day and night to try to collect this money. So this thing must stop, and it must stop now.
Luther Lebello, spokesperson at the South African Revenue Services, thank you so much for your time. That is the story. But let's get some reaction then from the man accused here and being asked to recuse himself. Judge Dennis Davis, chair at the Davis Tax Committee. You've probably heard some of the sentiment there coming out of the spokesperson at SARS. Have you been in contact with them?
Firstly, can I just correct a couple of things?
Yes.
Number one, I should tell you that I don't get any money at all for doing this job. I do this job as a judge. I don't get an additional cent. I do this because, in a sense, I was asked by the minister to chair a committee, and my interests are only in ensuring that, in fact, we have a better system of administration and policy,
yes,
which is to the benefit of 50 million people. So let's just get that out of the way. Secondly, the answer to you is that, you know, these alleged attacks that I've had on SARS are completely incorrect. They have based their entire response to me, which I only received yesterday, I should tell you, my letter, and then, of course, their press release today, on a City Press report, which, when it was drawn to my attention yesterday after I returned from Malaysia, I wrote to City Press to say, in fact, you haven't got the story right at all. I have never attacked SARS. I said, quite bluntly, that there are perceptions out there. The very fact that we're talking about this, the very fact that newspapers continuously raise questions about SARS, the very questions that were raised in the budget about whether we're collecting enough or not, these are perceptions, and my point was that I said that perceptions are damaging to an institution which is critical to the country.
So now, then, Judge,
that's
a
very different narrative from the suggestion that one, somewhere along the line, I'm suggesting that SARS has collapsed to the country.
So do you think the integrity of SARS has been eroded? And if so, why?
Well, it hasn't been. I think that what happens is that there's a perception there, right, for all sorts of reasons that I prefer not to go into. Because that's not my job was when the minister said to me, and by the way, we weren't appointed in terms of the SARS Act, I don't know where they get that from, nor is it my obligation to report to the commissioner. My obligation is only to report to the minister. Having said that, I'm more than happy to advise the commissioner anything he wants. I'll come back there in a moment if I can. But what I'm saying is that there is, SARS is in the news for all the wrong reasons for, I don't know for how long.
Yeah.
And I am concerned about perceptions. Those aren't mine. Those aren't my findings. That's not my view. And I never suggested in the speech I gave that was the case. If it was, we wouldn't be collecting money, to be honest. Yeah. So, no, I'm not suggesting that for a moment. Nor am I suggesting that there aren't very seriously talented people there.
Do you think then, following, you know, the spokesperson having said that they've lost faith in you, would you or should you then recuse yourself from the committee?
I'm not appointed by them. I'm appointed by the minister. Yeah. The minister loses faith in me, then that's his right to tell me that he doesn't want me there any longer.
Do you feel caught up in a battle there? Do you feel caught up in a battle between SARS and the finance ministry?
I prefer not to comment about that. That's a question which, you know, frankly, it's the context in which I find myself. Yes,
yeah.
To be blunt. Yes, of course I do. But you've got to ask yourself a real question here. If, number one, why would an institution go out, and again, hearing it this afternoon in your interview with SARS spokesperson, why would they actually attack me, say, this is what I've said, without on the basis of a few lines in a newspaper report, without asking the individual concerned, could you give us a copy of your speech?
Yeah.
What did you say?
So you're going to have communication with them. Are you planning to hopefully meet up with them and discuss this?
Let me tell you what I've done. I immediately read that letter, which is now the press release. I was extremely distressed by it. You know, as I say, you know, you do this damn job or nothing, in order to essentially, because you want to make the country better, the last thing you need is to be defamed on the basis of unsubstantiated reports.
Yeah.
I wrote to them. I said, this is what I did say. This is what is in the letter. I've also written to the editor of City Press to clarify. I can understand perfectly that a few lines from a 40-minute speech never captures a nuance. Let me give you an example. Somehow they got very excited by the fact that I'd suggested that there were that there were more people in the Joburg bar earning 5 million upwards than on the list. Well, the answer is that was clearly a joke, but the more serious proposition was that I do think, and that there are serious issues out there about whether, in fact, high net worth individuals are evading tax. That's not SARS's fault. That's the question of a concern we need to have. So I immediately wrote to them, and I should tell you as well that all of these main issues on the agenda. Are we dealing sufficiently with base erosion, profit shifting, illicit income flows, high net worth individuals, which they have concerns about and have consistently spoken about? I've been trying to see the minister since the 19th of December. The commissioner.
Yeah.
Without success. And yes, I've written again asking, I say, this is not the kind of debate we should be having in the media.
Yeah.
If you've got difficulties, let me come and speak to you and explain things to you. And I've asked for a meeting yet again.
Let's hopefully that meeting will take place there. Judge Dennis Davis, Chair of the Davis Tax Committee, thank you so much for your time as well this evening. Your traffic is next.
The Money Show.
The markets.
Well, the markets themselves, the JSE ticking up ever so slightly. My name is Arabile Kumete from Bloomberg News. Greg Katzenellenbogen, director at Sanlam Private Wealth, joining me this evening. Greg, some interesting times as well in the market. The dual-listed shares doing well today on dollar strength?
Yes, well, the dollar after the jobs numbers, that came down. But in the morning, certainly British American Tobacco and Anheuser-Busch, they were enjoying a strong morning as the rand continued to weaken, particularly against the pound. And it all changed after the jobs numbers when the dollar started weakening. Yeah. And at one stage, the pound, rand pound actually went below 16, so it took the shine off some of those.
Yeah. Those jobs numbers themselves coming out fairly good, doesn't it? Does it support the case, however, for a 2 or 3 interest rate hike in the United States?
I would say I think it supports for 2. I don't believe there will be 3. And in fact, after these jobs numbers, people are talking about 4 interest rate hikes, which, sure, I think is ridiculous, because, yeah, they've taken 10 years to raise interest rates and they don't want to raise them again too quickly and send the economy tumbling back again. So, but certainly we're going to get one next week, definitely. And I would think definitely another one in the course of the year. Was the job numbers, they were good. It wasn't the huge blowout number that the market had expected, but they did beat estimates. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing was the growth in wages, and that only increased slightly. So there's really no inflationary pressures to really worry the Federal Reserve at the moment. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing about that was that there was some in the jobs, that the number of higher paying jobs increased quite sharply.
Yeah.
So I think that's good for the US economy. But the dollar, obviously, it wasn't good news for the dollar.
How much more stress and strain do you think the U.S. economy is going to take this year, or are they really just on that upcycle and hopefully on their merrily way?
No, I think the economy is doing well and will continue to do well. However, this comes with a big if. If Mr. Trump wants to insist on the what he calls the border adjustment tax and start taxing imports, I think that will trigger some sort of a trade war, and that could be very bad news for the U.S. economy. But leaving that aside, just as things are going now, the U.S. economy is doing pretty well.
Yeah. Just an interesting comment that I read as well today was that Dr. Edward George, who's one of the leaders at the Echo Bank in the U.K., says that the rand has done well recently because of the desperate search for yield. Would you agree with that sentiment, that the rand, I mean, hovered even below 13 rand against the U.S. dollar? Do you think it was because of a search for yield?
Well, it's partly to explain it, but it can't be fully ascribed to that, because the rand, you know, blew out to 16, 17 in times when U.S. bond yields were even lower than this, the search for yield. So it's a partial explanation. I think in the short term, the real reason is there's been an improvement in our terms of trades. You know, exports have been up, yeah, because commodity prices have improved, and imports have been down because the oil price has come down. But so, if we leave politics aside, then the rand is doing quite well. But unfortunately, this is South Africa, and you always get the unforeseen event.
Of course, it's a politically driven year in any aspect or way that you may look at it. How long do you think the rand is going to hover just above 13 rand, as it currently sits around 13.29 now?
Well, that's very difficult. But I think if you continue to get strength in commodities, that could, yes, certainly give support to the rand. The fact that the U.S. dollar is weaker at the moment, and the euro went below above 106 to the US dollar, it's very good for commodities. You saw copper this afternoon rising, platinum, those things. So that could still give some support to them. But of course, it depends on the pace of interest rates hikes in the US, because if they continue to raise it more than we expect, then the dollar will strengthen rapidly, and that will be bad for commodities and bad for our currency.
Just gone 6:30. Greg Katzenellenbogen, director at Sanlam Private Wealth. Thank you so much for your time.
The Money Show on
your number one news and talk station.
The name's Arabile Kumete from Bloomberg News, and this is The Money Show, brought to you by Old Mutual. Do great things. Now, Bruce had a few tidbits this week where he interviewed a few people and got a few comments that may be interesting. Of course, the first one is quite topical at this point. Bruce, speaking to Andrew Lapping, who is the Chief Investment Officer of Allan Gray yesterday. He did speak to Allan Gray, and he's a large shareholder in the controversial NetOne, the parent company of the current social grants payment provider Cash Paymaster Services. Now, Bruce asked Andrew about the ethical reasons for his controversial investment.
There's no doubt that this is, some people fall well on the one side and say people have a freedom of choice and people know what's best for them. Other people fall way on the other side, saying this type of thing should be not allowed, and people do not have the information at hand to make these choices. And for, without doubt, it is fairly grey. We rely and encourage the business to treat its clients fairly and provide a service to them that helps them. And I think it's extremely unfortunate. Well, I know it's extremely unfortunate that there's a great deal of poverty in this country. People, there are a lot of people who really struggle to make ends meet. And it's tricky to say that those people should not have access to certain financial services, when in actual fact the requirement for a loan might be crucially important for them, more important than for you and I may ever know.
And I couldn't agree with you more on that particular point, Andrew, but I mean, you're comfortable with the approach that that NetOne takes in this. You're comfortable with the strategy, you're comfortable with the technology, you're comfortable with the way in which they do it, how they do it, what they charge for the services.
To the best of our knowledge, and the company has insisted this is the case to us and in public documents, that they are following due process, not using any type of underhand tactics to sell to people, not using any kind of information that comes from their grant payment business to solicit loans or sell loans to beneficiaries. And if that's the case, we are okay with it. But our minds are always open. We're always investigating. We've got people working on this issue as we speak now.
Okay.
And if further information comes to light...
Well, that was Andrew Lapping, who is the Chief Investment Officer of Allan Gray, who have a sizable investment in NetOne, of course, the controversial company, part of the Cash Paymaster Services, of course, in the whole saga with SASSA. Mark Kitchen Brand, a pigeon farmer and co-founder at a Kitchen Brand's Loft, is part of the consortium that paid, wait for it, a 5 million rand fee for a pigeon in Belgium earlier this week. Bruce asked him, why travel that far and pay so much money just for a pigeon?
If I can put it into context, Belgium is the biggest or the home of pigeons.
Ah.
And the best pigeons all generate or come out of Belgium. Over the last 20 years on the long distance, now long distance is anything from about 500 kilometers up to 1,100 kilometers. This pigeon, over the last 20 years, in three races, had the highest coefficient of any pigeon that raced. He is a superstar. He's a Usain Bolt, if I can put it in perspective. This bird just annihilated everything. And because of those results, and because of his, you know, his grandfather, who was also a superstar, the genetic line is there. You know, it's like buying out of horse chestnut.
And that was Mark Kitchen Brand, that is. Now, I know for a fact that I probably wouldn't be able to afford 5 million rand just for a pigeon, but I guess that's for another day. If you have it spare, there's one thing you could do with it. Alan Reyes, who is the founder and CEO of a business incubator called Reyes Corp, was our Make Money Mondays guest. He spoke to Bruce about how he spent his holidays as a youngster.
Even when I went to varsity, the whole deal was that I used to have to work for half the holiday and then play the other holiday. So I'd have to make my money in the first half for the second half. And that happened every single, whether it was December or, you know, any one of the university holidays was spent... Yeah, either working at the factory or working in a retail environment selling, which I think is also a critical thing that I want my kids to do, is to learn how to sell as young as possible and get rejected and have the experience of
Will you bring your kids into your work environment to get them to learn those skills, or will you outsource it? Because you had a mix of both.
Yeah, I had a mix of both, but I wouldn't force my kids to come into my... I'd like it secretly, but I'd never force them, or I'd never give them that guilt, because that was a big... I had a major fallout around that particular issue, and landed up not being in the business.
Mm. Happens a lot in family businesses.
Yeah, I was groomed to take over that business, I think, and... Yeah, for various reasons I won't go into on this.
No, of course, no, that's not what we're talking about tonight. But that's deeply personal.
I didn't go into that business. Mm. And I made my own way. And in retrospect, I'm glad I did, because it gave me the independence. Because there's a part of you always, if I think you're in IDB, in dad's business, when you're in IDB, there's always a part of you that wonders if you could have done it on your own. I don't have that wonder.
Alan Reyes there, who is the CEO of a business incubator, Reyes Corp, our Make Money Mondays guest. Now, South Africa's original Spice Girl, Inna Parman, was our shapeshifter on Wednesday. She told Bruce about her experience in dealing with the big retailers when they started stocking her products onto her shelves.
At the end of the day, the guy with the deepest pockets get the most shelf exposure. But Pick and Pay had a fantastic buyer. He's unfortunately retired now. Dave Smith, who gave us a chance. And one Christmas, one of the papers asked me to cook all the turkeys from the various supermarkets, which I duly agreed, because I also wanted to know which is the best one. And the next day, on the front page of the paper, there I am behind the counter with four turkeys. And Dave Smith phones me. How dare you? I said, what are you talking about? He says, how dare you say the Woolworths turkey is better than Pick and Pay when you're doing business with Pick and Pay? I said, don't be silly, Dave. This had nothing to do. But of course, it was seen as that. And I was too naive to realize that. But the next time we went to see him, the argument went on, and eventually I said to him, look, Dave, nobody F's with me. And I put the phone down. My husband was sitting opposite the desk, and he said to me, are you crazy? Don't you understand all our jobs are on the line here? We can't antagonize these people. You better phone Graham and tell him what you've done. So I phoned Graham. I'm sorry, Graham. I told Dave.
Yes, I know what you told him. Don't need to repeat it. Yes.
So he said, Ma, I've been wanting to do it for a year.
And how was Graham the next time you saw him?
Yeah, well, the relationship with David... It was brilliant afterwards.
Because you stood your ground.
There was suddenly respect.
You stood your ground.
But I don't know if I'll have the guts today.
In a Parman there, the original Spice Girl of South Africa, telling Bruce just about her experience in dealing with big retailers. Let's get into your traffic.
It's time to put your business knowledge to the test. The Biz Quiz with MTN on The Money Show.
The brutal Biz Quiz this Friday night, brought to you by MTN. 2,000 smackaroos up for grabs. I know I could do with that money, but since I can't play, here's your chance. Let's play the Brutal Biz Quiz. Which is the most widely held and actively traded bullion coin in the world? Craig from Hout Bay, your answer.
The Kruger Rand.
Fantastic. Yeah, since its launch in 1967, more than 53 million ounces of gold have been sold in the form of the Kruger Rand. Let's get into question two. What is the economic term to describe the monetary value of all the finished goods and services produced within a country's borders in a specific time period?
GDP, gross domestic
Fantastic.
Product.
Fantastic. Of course, 0.3% registered growth for 2016. Now, that was a bit of a long one there. Question three. Which expensive flying creatures have names like Golden Price, Dolce Vita, Euro Diamond, and Bolt?
Racing pigeons.
Fantastic. Pigeons is the answer. Of course, Bruce did speak this week to Mark Kitchenbrand on the show. I thought this was going to be a few brutal questions. I guess not. Number four, which investment management firm based headlines this week for representing 16% of their shareholding in NetOne, the parent company, of course, involved with the current social grants payment provider, Cash Paymaster Services?
Alan Gray.
Fantastic. Andrew Lapping speaking to Bruce as well this week. I'm really worried about my producer's questions here. They're not as brutal as I thought. To which company is MTN SA CEO Mteto Nyati moving there, Craig?
Which country is he moving to?
No, to which company is MTN SA CEO Mteto Nyati moving? It gets brutal as it goes on, doesn't it?
How many more questions are there?
Ooh, after this one, who knows?
I know it, but I haven't...
I'll give you this. He's replacing Robbie Fenter.
Okay, so then it's Altec.
Oh, very close, but we'll give it to you. Altron. Altron, however, and Bruce did speak to him as well this week, talking exactly about how that move would go. So we'll give you that one because you were close. Altec and Altron are in proximity in somewhat.
One used to be the holding company of the other.
Exactly. So here's the final one then for you, Craig. It's gotten brutal, and this is the whole point of the quiz, right? Which South African artist painted the young Arab that sold for 13.6 million rand at an auction this week?
The final one is going to get me because I'm going to say Brett. No, I don't know.
Come on, Craig. Their second name is the name of a jewelry store. No? Craig, are you going to give this away to somebody else? It's the final question. All that hard work.
Kaplan.
No, sadly not. Sadly not. Let's get Ismail from Lanesia.
Yeah, the answer is
Irma Stern. Fantastic. Bruce speaking to Frank Kilborn, Executive Chairman at Strauss & Company, about the artwork this week. Congratulations. 2,000 Rand is yours, and you're the whiz of the brutal biz quiz, although a lot of those answers, of course, are done for you there.